You're listening to the Moon Griffon Show podcast on KPEL965.com.
News Talk 96.5 KPEL, Brobridge, Lafayette, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax Pro Studios. Find them online at MatthewJamesTaxPros.com.
This is a Fox News alert, a nosedive at the stock market. I'm Dave Anthony. The Dow plunging a little over 1,000 points, but percentage-wise, the Nasdaq's doing a lot worse, about 4%, 617 points, amid a global stock market sell-off triggered by a rising unemployment rate.
This triggers what's known as the SOM rule. So that says a recession is likely already underway when the three-month moving average for unemployment rises half a percentage point versus the low it saw over the past year. So all you need to know there is 4.3%. It checks that box. And the SOM rule has been accurate in defining every recession since the early 70s.
That's Fox Business Network's Kelly O'Grady. Former President Trump posted on Truth Social, stock markets are terrible. We're heading to World War III, and we have two of the most incompetent leaders in history. Of course, referring to President Biden, who will meet with his national security team today as Israel braces for an attack from Iran. And Vice President Harris, his new November opponent, who's on the verge of announcing a running mate. Now back to the former president. The judge overseeing his federal election interference case has again denied a Trump attempt to dismiss this case. A hearing is set for August 16th. It is not clear yet how much the Supreme Court ruling giving former presidents some criminal immunity for actions taken while in office has affected the special counsel's indictment. Hurricane Debby is hitting Florida. Fox Weather's Robert Ray near where it came ashore in Perry.
Not a heavily populated area, but yet thousands of people do live on the Nature Coast here, and so many people, thousands, are out of power.
Debbie's forecast to slow down, moving into Georgia and South Carolina, dumping up to 2 feet of rain.
Many, many hard days ahead for millions of people in the path of what Debbie will continue to do.
At the Olympics, Simone Biles just won silver in the floor exercise final after winning three golds early in Paris. American Jordan Chiles got bronze. Earlier today, Biles did not medal in the balance beam, finishing fifth. America's listening to Fox News.
The best things in life, they come in twos. Two scoops of ice cream, two tacos. And now for a limited time, get our best deal of the year. Buy any phone when you switch to Consumer Cellular and get 2 months of service free. That's right, the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage as Big Wireless, now with 2 months free. Proof the best things in life really do come in twos. Visit ConsumerCellular.com or call 1-888-FREEDOM. Second and third month of monthly base service fee waived for new customers with the purchase of a phone and activation by September 2nd, 2024. Taxes, fees, and third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Jerry Padgett, the second enlisted in the U.S. Navy and deployed multiple times to Iraq and Afghanistan until Jerry was catastrophically injured in an improvised explosive device blast. Now, Jerry received a new smart home thanks to our friends at the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Now, the home is in the foundation's Let Us Do Good Village. It's in Florida, and Jerry now lives more independently thanks to the specially adaptive technologies. Commit to $11 a month, the letter T, the number.
Get ready for something fresh and exciting with The Josh Guillory Show. Josh Guillory brings a new perspective to the airwaves, analyzing news and issues coming out of Baton Rouge in Washington, D.C., and breaking down how they affect you. Engaging, raw, and informative, Guillory knows how to have fun while delivering the latest in politics and current events. With daily features that entertain and inform, you won't want to miss a single episode. The Josh Guillory Show, 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, only on News Talk 96.5, KPEL.
Did you know that 1 in 14 children experience homelessness at some point in time in their life? The Gift and Grace Project, Acadiana's homeless children's outreach, seeks to help them. Go to giftandgraceproject.com to partner with us and donate today.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bikers Against Child Abuse empowers children to not feel afraid of the world in which they live. For more information, visit bacaworld.org. Our helpline is 866-885-9474. BACA, breaking the chains of abuse.
This hour of the Moon Griffon Show is brought to you by 1% Lists Acadiana. Call Shannon LeBlanc today at 337-522-0682. Save on fees, not on service.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5 KPEL or Town Square Media.
right. Good morning. How y'all are? This is the Moon Griffon Show. I've been practicing that all morning. As you can see, this is not Moon Griffon. This is State Representative Julie Emerson. But I do happen to be Moon's favorite state representative. And he's not here to argue with me about that at all. And so it's gospel this morning. But the thing about it is that I'm his only state representative because he does live in my district. So I have to be his favorite. I'm also known as Junk Mail Julie, if you listen to Moon Show very much, because apparently I send him too much mail. But I'm just trying to keep my good friend and my constituent, Moon Griffon, informed. So pleasure to be with y'all this morning. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to kick off the show talking a little bit about tax reform and money in the state budget. I am the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and so next year we're going to be dealing with tax policy and some tax reform, and we're going to have our friend Vance Ginn with us. He's the chief economist for the Pelican Institute. He's going to join us in just a couple seconds. And then we're going to have a few of my colleagues. We're going to have State Representative Troy Hebert, who represents the Lafayette area. He's going to join me. Then we're going to have State Senator Jean-Paul Cousin. He's our state senator in Lafayette Parish and also running for public service commissioner. We're going to have another member from the Chalmette area, Mike Baham. He's going to talk to us a little bit about state stuff, the Republican National Convention, and a little bit of national politics. And then we'll kind of go into some national issues after that at the 10 o'clock hour. So happy to be here this morning. And Vance, do we have you this morning on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing pretty well over here. Happy to have you. And look, Vance, we'll just jump right into it. As you know, we're going to be going into a fiscal session this year in Baton Rouge. I'm going to be working really closely with you guys and a lot of other stakeholders on trying to make our tax code better and a little bit more streamlined and work better for the people of Louisiana and to attract businesses here. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot that can happen and needs to happen. As you know, being chair of Ways and Means, I mean, you've seen where the revenue's coming in. You saw the budget that was passed earlier this year, which looks good, you know, on the surface. Some of that was because there wasn't enough revenue to spend more. So that was good. But I think legislators did a good job on a lot of other things. Hopefully we can rein in some of the spending for the future, because that's really going to be the path forward to getting sound, sustainable tax reform happened. And we've been working hard at that at the Pelican Institute. So I'm ready to dive in however you'd like.
Well, sounds great. And look, let's talk a little bit about, I know that you have a lot of experiences outside of Louisiana as well. Of course, you were the former chief economist for the White House Office of Management and Budget, the OMB, under President Trump. And so I know you have a lot of national experience, but let's talk a little bit, too, about some other states. I know it's, we're feeling the pressure because there's a lot of states around us that are moving more toward lower personal income tax and some moving towards zero personal income tax. So share with us a little bit about some of your experiences in other places, what you see some of our surrounding states doing. And I mean, it kind of seems like we're being left behind a little bit and that we're going to be in major competition with some states around us to try to keep up and attracting companies to come to Louisiana. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're right on. It's unfortunate, right? I mean, there's so much crazy things going on in Louisiana with the mighty Mississippi and the ports and oil and gas activity. There's just so much. And the culture, great food. There's all these things that are happening where it should be a robust economy with plenty of opportunity for people to flourish. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case for a lot of people. I mean, Louisiana has the highest poverty rate, one of the highest in the country, the highest. And it also, whenever you look at out-migration, so you look at the number of people that are moving into the state versus the number of people that are moving out, net out-migration is 45th. Whenever you look at 2023, and this is just another year of more people leaving than coming in. So whenever people are leaving, that reduces your human capital, the number of workers and jobs and everything else. And so that's really contributed to a lot of this. And whenever I look at these other states across the country, 26 states have now either cut their income taxes or flattened their income taxes or put them on a path to zero just over the last 3 years. And so if you're not moving in that direction, you're exactly right. Louisiana is falling behind. And so as you fall behind, you're less competitive within this system of federalism, you know, this laboratory of competition, which is so important. To be left behind is unfortunate, but it's something that really can be, you know, it's solvable, though. There are solutions that can get us headed in the right direction.
Sure. And look, so let's talk a little bit, too, about in Louisiana's case about the personal income tax. So, you know, we've talked about this for a couple of years. I know that the governor certainly heard a lot of people on the campaign trail talk about that and how our surrounding states are moving in that direction. And it's, you know, it's a gradual process. Certainly it's something that's, you know, a little bit difficult to do overnight. But I think that, you know, what you're seeing, especially like in Mississippi, they have a plan to get there. Maybe it's not going to be in 6 months or a year, but they're working towards zero income tax. And so I think that's something we really want to see Louisiana come up with a plan, you know, however long that takes. I mean, whatever's prudent, but, you know, let's get to a plan to be competitive. Right. So right now, the last projections I saw is that the income tax in Louisiana, the personal income tax, brings in roughly $4.5 billion. So you're a budget guy as well. So, you know, talk about some things maybe that if you have anything that you've seen. I know you've done a lot of work on the federal level, and that's a gigantic budget. So, you know, what are some things I think that, you know, obviously we'll have to look at, you know, just ways to refine the tax code. And obviously the thing that you want to do is make a tax code that attracts businesses here so that you are creating more jobs and you are bringing in more revenue so that it's not noticeable. Like that's obviously the thing that you want to happen. But let's talk about a little bit about the budget and maybe some areas that we can make things more efficient, or, you know, are there some glaring things in Louisiana that we're not doing that maybe they're doing on the national level or other states that we can try to reduce our budget a little bit?
Yeah. No, it's a great point. And I would first say, try not to do anything that the federal government's doing.
Look at what the federal government's doing and do the opposite, huh?
Deficits, you know, it has $35 trillion in national debt. You know, Julie, whenever I was there in 2020, the last budget by President Trump, it was a $4.8 trillion budget, which is already massive, and we were trying to cut it. Now it's up to $6.4 trillion in just a short period of time. So I would first say, look at them as things not to do. But when you look at what's happening, you're exactly right with, you know, in Louisiana, where the Tax Foundation puts out this report, this State Business Tax Climate Index, where they go through and they rank different, you know, all the states compared to their corporate income tax burden, their income tax burden, sales tax burden, and Louisiana ranks 40th. And that's lower than all of the other states in the region. So it's not that just you're competing with other 50 states, but it really just in the region, think about Texas, no income tax, Florida, no income tax, Tennessee, no income tax, Mississippi, you know, going to zero over time. That's a lot of competition. And so this really is a burden and a hindrance for more economic growth, job creation, and people moving into the area. And one thing we must start with, though, is the spending. I mean, the spending has been too high for too long during the years of Governor Bill Edwards. And so hopefully some of that's starting to be reined in now. But that was a huge burden because it has to be funded. Fortunately, with states, they have you got to balance your budget. It's not like the federal government where you can run deficits year after year. And so that also means higher taxes than otherwise, which burden the economy and burden Louisianans. I think places to start, though, when you look at what other states have done and you look at the budget for Louisiana, places to start are to cut out the port projects. I mean, that would be a first place to go across the board. But then also, there needs to be a better look about what's happening with all these local funds from the state, where the state sends state money collected by the state to local governments. Instead of having them fund themselves, there's this redistribution that's going on. And that also is a pretty large part of the budget that needs to be considered, you know, before you start even looking at things like education or healthcare and other places that are main parts of the budget. And so I think there's a lot of room for improvement so that way you can have sustainable budgeting and key tax reform to allow for the economic growth and potential needs for the state.
Yeah. And Vance, stick around for one more segment. I want to jump into a little bit of the corporate tax issues as well. We're going to take a quick break, but stay on. We're going to have a few more questions for you.
Sounds good.
Locations. I always make it a point to visit Superior Grill. I love the food there. It's authentic Mexican food with a Louisiana twist. That menu has all your favorites. Nachos, quesadillas, enchiladas, tacos, fajitas, hand-cut steaks, and the best margaritas in the state. You go to Superior for lunch or dinner, and folks, you're going to thank me for it. My lovely bride and I eat at Superior Grill every chance we get. They're on Line Avenue in Shreveport, Government Street, and Holland Road in Baton Rouge, and they're on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans. But look, their new location in Lafayette is now open. Lafayette, you've been clamoring for it, and now they are open on College Saloon. I want to see Superior Grill packed with folks from Acadiana. The best Mexican food with a Louisiana twist is found at Superior Grill. Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, and now Acadiana on College Saloon in Lafayette. This is Moon Griffon. I will see you at Superior Grill.
Louisiana is unique. The food, the festivals, even the bugs. It's termite season. Did you know termites are responsible for over $1 billion worth of damage in Louisiana alone? For over 60 years, J&J Exterminating has been shielding homes and businesses. 100% guaranteed against termites, pests, and mosquitoes. Louisiana owned, customer focused. J&J Exterminating.
Call them today, make the pests go away. J&J Exterminating.
Get the shield.
Yeah.
Line One is a business telecom provider. Line One specializes in cloud-based communication with superior customer service. If you're frustrated with phone bills you can't understand, endless hold time to customer support, and phone system that is not meeting your needs, then you need to go to Line.One and schedule a free consultation to advance your business phone system. Line One, technology with a human touch. Go to Line.One and tell them Moon sent you. Again, that is Line.One.
Y'all.
All right, welcome back. This is Representative Julie Emerson. I'm guest hosting today for Moon Griffon. And we still have Vance Ginn on the line with us. He's the chief economist for the Pelican Institute. Vance, you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, awesome. Thanks for sticking around. I just wanted to kind of wrap it up a little bit by talking about the corporate side. Of course, obviously lowering personal income tax or getting it to zero is incredibly popular with a lot of people in the state. Because everybody pays personal income tax, and we kind of constantly get beat up on the other side for giving big business too many tax breaks. But let's talk about that for a second, because they're the job creators, right? That's how we create more jobs, by attracting more businesses and create more jobs in Louisiana. That's how we keep our people here, and that's how we attract more people to the state. And unfortunately, right now, people may not realize this, but one of the big things I think that's keeping businesses from coming here is that Louisiana has a franchise tax, corporate income tax, and inventory tax. And when I talk to businesses around the country talking about coming to Louisiana, that's one thing they talk about. It's just the inconsistency, the multiple different layers of taxation. Can you speak to that? Have you had those experiences with businesses as well, talking about our state, talk to that a little bit.
Definitely. I mean, you're exactly right. When you look at the corporate income taxes, there are three rates. So it's already a progressive tax system where you have 3.5%, 5.5%, and 7.5%, depending on the amount of income that the corporation has. But that 7.5% rate, it ranks 35th in the country. So that's near the bottom of the pack. So there's no wonder why many businesses are like, look, this is a problem, especially when you add on to that the compounding effect of what you just mentioned with the inventory tax and the franchise tax. This is just a huge burden that disincentivizes businesses to want to be in Louisiana. And so this is something that's got to be overcome. I mean, and you add to that, you know, the three brackets for the corporate income tax. There are also three brackets for the individual income tax, 1.85, 3.5, and 4.25%. And so you get a double
whammy. Also directly affects small businesses as well, depending on how they file.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And so I'm just trying to paint this picture, as like you are, about how cumbersome that this all is and is in need of, you know, substantial tax reform. We've talked a lot about a kickstart plan for Louisiana at the Pelican Institute. We're looking at flat personal income tax, flat corporate income tax, maybe around 3.5% with a higher standard deduction. And then looking at, you know, getting rid of the franchise tax. And really putting Louisiana in a better position to compete with all these other states. And at the same time, looking at spending restraint. If we don't get to keep spending in line, then we can't have substantial tax reform or sustainable tax reform over time. So something else we looked at is, you know, limiting spending to no more than population growth plus inflation, and then using any surplus money, half of it, to go towards continuing to buy down the personal income tax, which could take, you know, 5 to 10 years to eliminate it. At least that gets us on a path like these other states are doing. And so I think that we really need a larger kickstart, if you think about it that way, to get the economy going so people can flourish, including, you know, businesses and employers and families and everyone else.
Yeah, and look, I appreciate it, because I was going to ask you kind of, you know, a plan forward, but you laid it out pretty perfectly, you know, trying to take both of our tax rates, potentially trying to get them flat, trying to get them lower. You know, the crazy part is, as we sit here and talk about all the different issues with Louisiana's tax system, and people, listeners might think, well, man, like, you know, is there anything that we're doing well? Like, everything's high, everything's complicated. And so a lot of times people say, oh, but, you know, Louisiana, we have low property taxes compared to Texas. And, you know, that's an area where we're doing well. But, you know, the crazy part about property taxes, and I know a lot of people probably don't feel that way when they get all their assessments, but, you know, when you look at property taxes in Louisiana, most people pay those in an escrow account when they pay their mortgage. And also the other facet of that is that homeowners insurance is taken out of that as well. So people in Louisiana probably don't feel like they have low property taxes because their insurance rates are so high. So whenever you pay that all together, that's exactly right. It seems enormous. We're going to have some folks talking about insurance rates coming on soon as well. But, you know, we have a lot to fix. And I think that we have the right people in place. I think we have a reform-minded governor who wants to get some things done. You've seen him hit the ground running. I think we have a legislature who agrees. And look, I mean, you know, this is my 9th year in the legislature. I've been there for, this is my third term. And of course, unfortunately, I didn't really agree with the governor for the last couple of terms. He and I were not on the same page. But, you know, I think when you look at things moving forward, we do have a legislature in place that as we campaigned a lot last year, we heard tax policy and we heard insurance rates. Obviously, insurance was the number one issue that we heard about in the state of Louisiana. So I appreciate you joining us this morning, Vance. Any last words?
No, I just want to say thank you for all you're doing. I mean, you know, being chair of Ways and Means, you're going to see a lot of different things come through. So I hope that we continue these types of conversations, because it's exactly what we need to be having to improve the lives of Louisianans. It's not just the tax code and everything else, right? This is really about affecting families and people across the great state. And so thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot in the near future.
Sounds great.
All right. Coming up, we do have Representative Troy Hebert, and you heard me mention something about insurance rates. He is on the House Insurance Committee. He's going to speak to that a little bit. And then just also talk about, this was his first year in the Louisiana legislature. So he's going to be talking a little bit about session and how, what that was like for him. And we're going to take a quick break here. And that was a hard cutoff.
When you think about how you'll spend your money in retirement, what comes to mind? Probably travel, sunny beaches, and spoiling your grandchildren. But a recent survey found that over 30% of every dollar a retiree spends goes to taxes. Baby boomers were told for years to save money in their IRAs and 401ks and pay taxes later. Well, now that day has arrived, and boomers are shocked to see a third of their money going back to Uncle Sam. John Blanchard and the Matthew James Financial Group can help. What if you could protect all or most of your retirement wealth from future tax rate increases? Achieve a zero or near zero effective tax rate for most of your retirement years. Find out more. 337-366-8366. Isn't it time you got a second opinion on your wealth and retirement outlook? Learn how you could potentially kick the IRS out of your IRA. 337-366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com.
The St. Francis Foundation wants you to dream big with their two cars, two winners giveaway. Get your tickets and you could win a brand new Nissan Frontier SL four-wheel drive or Toyota Highlander XLE. But don't wait. Get your tickets by noon on August the 9th and you could also win $5,000 cash in the Creed and Creed Early Bird drawing. By purchasing your ticket, you're helping women's, children's, and critical care services at St. Francis Medical Center. Two cars, two winners is back. So dream big, and while you're at it, help the babies. PICU, NICU, and St. Francis Medical Center. Dream big, and you could win a new Nissan Frontier SL four-wheel drive or a Toyota Highlander XLE. Even $5,000 from Creed and Creed's Early Bird Special. But you can't win if you don't buy a ticket at stfran.com/cars, the St. Francis Gift Shop, and Community Health Center on Tower. It's back. The St. Francis Foundation, two cars, two winners giveaway. Dream big.
This hour of the Moon Graffon Show is brought to you by 1% Lists Acadiana. Call Shannon LeBlanc today at 337-522-0682. Save on fees, not on service.
All right, welcome back to the Moon Graffon Show. This is Representative Julie Emerson, guest hosting today for my good friend Moon. And we have, earlier we just finished our conversation with Vance Ginn, who's the chief economist for the Pelican Institute. And we talked a little bit about tax reform, and it kind of segued into the insurance crisis that we have in the state of Louisiana right now. So I got my good friend Troy Hebert on the phone. He's a state representative, represents part of Lafayette Parish and Vermilion. And he's on the line with us. He's on the House Insurance Committee. He's a freshman legislator. This is his first year. I'm sure he's been having an awesome time. Troy, you with us?
Yeah, good morning, Chairman Remerson. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, I have to tell you a little bit of a funny story. You probably already know this, but, of course, you have the same name of a former legislator who was well-known around here. And I don't know if you know this, but somebody was asking me about you one day and they started talking about, you know, the other Troy. And I said, no, they're not the same person. And they pulled up a Wikipedia article where they've combined the two of you. Do you know this?
You know, I saw that and I have no idea how to get that corrected, to be honest with you.
Well, I can actually help you with that, so call me offline. But I thought it was really funny. I said they have made them the same person.
If I had a nickel for everyone since the day I stepped in that Capitol and campaigned that talked about me and former Senator Troy Hebert, I'd have two pockets full of nickels. It's been funny and interesting. But I will speak to you offline on that. Let's figure out how we can get that corrected.
All right. Well, it sounds good. Well, like, let's jump into it. First of all, crazy session. I think that you and I probably had a more similar first year in the legislature than our second termers did. My first year in the legislature, we broke a record for most consecutive days in session. So we were in for about 6 months. You had a similar experience. talk a little bit about that, and then and whenever you feel comfortable, let's talk a little bit about the insurance crisis and your experiences on house insurance.
Yeah, so was sworn in on a Monday, and the following Monday showed up in a special session. I would say for 35 freshmen legislators in the House, it felt very much like drinking through a fire hose. Trying to listen, it doesn't matter how involved you are. It doesn't matter how much you pay attention. Once you get there and you're really in the mix, and it can be quite overwhelming. You know, it's not like they say, hey, we've got 35 new freshmen, and so we're going to kind of slowly move the needle and get them acclimated. It's get down to business day one. Yep. And so I was very thankful that, you know, people like yourself, Rep. Emerson and many others, we could ask questions to and gave great guidance. But, you know, the special sessions before the regular session it was kind of good and bad. You know, you had to come in real quick, and you had to figure things out, and you felt overwhelmed, and sometimes you just felt like you didn't know what you were doing. But by the time we got to the regular session, you know, we obviously felt more comfortable. You know, in the crime session, I did sit on judiciary. So,
like, you had some training wheels in those special sessions. So when you got to the real session, you were just ready to ride the bike.
Correct. I had some committee. Work. I had ability to get there, do it, and so so that was the good, you know, the good and the bad of it. Quick, had to jump in, learn real quick, but by the time we got to the regular session, felt a lot more acclimated.
Yeah, well, talk a little bit about, look, I know that both of us experienced last year, no matter if you were running for the first time or, you know, running for your last term, we heard about insurance. And, you know, you and I did a panel not too long ago for one of the Republican women's groups around here, and I was impressed with your knowledge of the subject. I'm glad you're on house insurance. And, you know, I think the difficult thing is that everybody knows that we have an insurance crisis in Louisiana. Now, I think that, you know, in our conversations with Commissioner Temple, I think if there was a magic switch that we could flip on to fix it all, we definitely would have done that by now. Unfortunately, it's a really complicated issue. I think we did some things this session, and you can speak to some of that as well, but I think we did some things this session that are going to eventually help a lot. Unfortunately, it does take a little bit of time to take effect. But if you want to talk about that, and then maybe, I know you guys have had some meetings in the interim, talking about some things that hopefully we can implement next year. You want to talk about any of the things that we did in the session, any of the things that are coming up possibly that we might tackle in the insurance realm?
Yes. So after a little over 20 years in the real estate industry, I started seeing prior to running for office that the rising cost of homeowners insurance was starting to somewhat get in the way of not only people being able to buy a house, but people having trouble selling their house. You know, maybe the person can afford the note, but when you added the insurance cost into it with the note, it made the deal not affordable anymore. We watched commercial investors start to, some needing to sell off properties, or they had to pay them off and then start self-insuring themselves. And then look, it doesn't matter. Business is, my wife's an auto dealer. We started watching the rising cost of her insurance and in her business. When I got to the house, I knew that insurance was going to be a big deal, not a door that you knocked on, but that wasn't the topic. And so I asked to be on the insurance committee. I was placed on it. And then I said, look, other than what I know about insurance from a real estate perspective, there's probably a lot I don't know about the industry. So I spent 4 hours one day with Chairman Gabe Furman and Representative Chance Henry, and we sat down with the insurance industry, and we learned everything about mitigating risk, how it works, to reinsurance. And I was very thankful for that four-hour meeting because it allowed me to better understand what Commissioner Temple was trying to do. He was trying to create a package of bills in the property and casualty side to figure out how to bring more insurance companies to the state of Louisiana. You know, one of our biggest problems right now in insurance is the limited amount of companies that are writing, and a small group of them are taking probably, you know, 70-80% of the risk.
Yeah, and look, I think that's a really important point. Like, you know, obviously whenever you only have a few companies here, it minimizes the competition. And then also, like you said, they have to assume a lot of risk because if you only have two companies that are paying out all the claims, it's a huge problem.
It is. And look, again, that goes back to the 4 hours that I spent prior coming into session and, you know, in taking time to really understand, I guess, the business model. You know, another big piece of it is you have the reinsurance market. You know, for those that don't know what reinsurance is, that's insurance for the insurance companies. They have to have their own backing. And these are companies that are all over the world. These companies probably make up a large part of your premium. So they see Louisiana as a high risk. They see that they could mitigate their risk the way they needed to. They did not like the litigious environment that we have in the state of Louisiana. So for them to back the insurance company play, they did it at a higher, they want a high premium. Commissioner Temple, Chairman Gabe Furman in the House, Chairman Talbot on the Senate side, look, they did a tour. They went to talk to the reinsurance companies. They went to find out what is the problems. And the package of bills that we presented were to find a way to be able to pass these package of bills so that insurance companies could figure out how to better mitigate their risk and want to come to Louisiana. Look, Tim Temple says best, I don't know any company that doesn't want to take anybody's money if they can. But right. When they see that they can't mitigate their risk the way they need to, then they don't want to come. If they see that we have an environment that just doesn't fit their business model, they don't want to come. And we're not going to win lower. We can't. You said a second ago, there's not a magic bullet that's going to do this. It's a right. Series of things. So there were some bills that were no-brainers. You know, we extended the fortified roof program. You know, fortified roof is an inspected roof that makes sure that it meets all the right building codes and everything. And listen, if the roof is sound and the roof is done correctly and the roof it's fortified, as they say, then you're not going to get a lot of water intrusion into the house. And cause extended extra damage.
Yeah. Hey, Troy, we gotta take a quick break. Stay on the line for a couple of seconds, and we'll let you wrap up.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
It's a summer heat here. Let's talk about your AC. You're looking for a reliable, locally owned company that you can trust? Call DAP Concepts AC and Heating. They have been serving all of Acadiana, the surrounding area, and the Gulf of Mexico for over 6 years. For your home or business, DAP Concepts AC and Heating has you covered with certified technicians specializing in everything from residential to large commercial HVAC systems available 24/7. These guys are focused on providing professional quality work and ensuring customer satisfaction every step of the way. You want the professionals? You want the best? This is them. Don't miss this summer special. 0% financing or up to $3,000 off qualifying high efficiency equipment. Not only that, they will throw in a free 12-year part and labor warranty. That's right, 12 years part and labor. Wow. Don't you want to know more about them? Call them at 337-408-8202. That's 337-408-8202. Or go to the website adap-ac.com. That's adap-ac.com.
Folks, you hear me brag about Schumacher Homes. Now's the time. Now's the time to build that custom home that you always wanted. Schumacher Model Homes to discover the ideal plan and interior design that you need. The team at Scott's ready to help provide you with a firsthand glimpse of all the possibilities of your new home. Go to SchumacherHomes.com, SchumacherHomes.com. Is building a custom home something you really feel strong about? SchumacherHomes.com. My friends at Schumacher Home recently released the perfect French country-inspired home. The Avery floor plan is the perfect blend of both elegance and functionality. The two-story, 2,847-square-foot masterpiece by Schumacher Homes featured four beds and two-and-a-half baths. Open kitchen layout invites seamless interaction with other people as the guests come over. Visit SchumacherHomes.com, SchumacherHomes.com. Folks, I'm just telling you, you got to go visit them because they can build your next home, and you're going to be glad you came across them. SchumacherHomes.com, SchumacherHomes.com.
Chestnut, brother.
All right, we're back with the Moon Griffon Show this morning. This is State Representative Julie Emerson, and we're still on the line with Representative Troy Hebert, my colleague from Lafayette. Troy, just kind of wrap up a little bit. Let's talk about what we can look for in the next year. What's going to happen next year with insurance reform? I know we did a lot this year, but we're not done. We still have a lot to fix with the problem. You can bring in any insurance reform, tort reform, anything that you think we're going to tackle next year.
So just like we created a package of bills to be able to address the homeowner and property casualty side, we are currently meeting now. We've already had one meeting, and I think we're going to have a series of meetings between now and getting into next year. In fact, I actually go Wednesday. We're all coming in, and it's all going to be about auto insurance. And I think that's where we're at now. Commissioner Temple and I were having conversations with the insurance market and reinsurance and everybody. And I think it is going to be about what kind of series of package of bills can we put together? What really is the true problem? I don't, again, just like the property and casualty side, there's no magic bullet, Rep. Emerson. So we're going to have to identify exactly what is creating some of these problems. How do we help take care of these problems and eliminate these high premiums or work to eliminate these high premiums on the auto side because it's hurting business and it's hurting consumers. And it's another piece of the puzzle in trying to attract people to the state of Louisiana. You know, we need to get our insurance rates down. We need to have better rates. We need to be more competitive. Our neighboring states have better auto insurance rates. You can go domicile your business in Mississippi right now and get better rates on your truck rates.
Yeah. Well, and look, I think
that's not good.
In the previous segment, Troy, you know, we talked about tax reform and insurance reform, but we talked about how they're directly related because, you know, our insurance rates are so high, it makes it seem like our property rates are really high because a lot of people pay them at the same time in their mortgage and their escrow accounts. And so, you know, it's really affecting a lot what we can do on the tax reform side as well. And we have to do better. We have to make it better for people to live here and stay here in Louisiana. So, Troy, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you taking time out of your morning to share with us some of your experiences and hopefully some of the things we can look forward to next year.
Listen, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for all the work you're doing as well. Look forward to continue working with you in the legislature for the next 4 years.
All right. State Representative Troy Hebert, thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. All right. And then I think next we have Senator Jean-Paul Cousin, who is calling in. Is he on the line right now? Not yet. Okay. He's been in the House with me for a couple of terms. Then he ran for Senate this year or last year. We have an open Public Service Commission seat in Lafayette and Baton Rouge. And he is he's a candidate for Public Service Commissioner. And he is going to join us soon. I'm texting him right now, Walker. I'm doing multiple things at the same time. So I'm trying to figure out all of my talents. Trying to do two things at once, but Senator Jean-Paul Cousson, he's calling in right now. He's going to share with us a little bit about what he thinks he can bring to the Public Service Commission. JP, you with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in. So tell us a little bit about, of course, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise to some of us that Commissioner Craig Green decided not to run again. So that was sort of something that, you know, hey, in politics, it's always exciting. Everything, nothing is continues like you think it will. So that opportunity came open and you decided to jump in. So tell us a little bit about why and what you think you can bring to the Public Service Commission.
Well, good morning, Julie. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is exciting. You know, I think over the next decade, we're going to see tremendous growth under Governor Jeff Landry and with possible Trump administration. Louisiana can be at the forefront of our domestic energy production and businesses investing in the state of Louisiana, and hopefully have some growth in our population as opposed to, you know, up migration, which we've been seeing.
Hey, Jean-Paul, you kind of cutting out a little bit. Do you have a, are you like walking around a lot?
Let me see. You're so important, Julie. You're just making me nervous, so I'm walking around.
Yeah, I figured you were pacing. So, no, that's better. You sound better now.
Okay. So we're looking at tremendous growth. I think under Governor Jeff Landry and under a new Trump administration, we're going to be looking at domestic oil production, oil and gas. We're going to have in-migration to the state of Louisiana, growth. And so to be at the forefront of that, dealing with our utility costs, which is where the PSC is right in the middle of, I think is an exciting time to be on the PSC. The legislature does not have a lot of regulatory authority over utilities, and the PSC basically has the regulatory authority under our state constitution. So the PSC serves two roles, dealing with utility rates, that's electric, gas, and water. And it also serves as a major customer service arm of the utility space, where people's electric bills are too high or they go up, they call their PSC representative. So serving in the legislature over the last 9 years, it's been really an honor to serve my district here in Lafayette. And serve 130,000 people as a state senator. And now this is another great opportunity to expand that service aspect to almost a million people, about 900,000 people over 13 parishes, and really be on the front end of the growth aspect that we have, I think, going on in the state for the future. So that's the main reason that I'm running, to work on affordability and reliability of our electric grid.
Yeah. And look, I think that, you know, of course, last year you served as the chairman of Natural Resources in the House, and talk a little bit about, I guess, some of the things that you learned there and how that experience, I feel like, you know, kind of equips you for understanding some of the needs of our regulatory environment and certainly oil and gas and energy in Louisiana.
Well, Natural Resources chairman goes from everything from trout fishing regulations and redfish fishing regulations, Mid and Hayden deal that we've been working on for so many years, all the way over to the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, the Department of Natural Resources, and oil and gas under another department. And so we've been seeing the regulations come through, and in some cases way too far left, way too kind of far left environmental stuff that we had to fight off. And we've done that because that's not what brings jobs and growth to the state of Louisiana. And so being at the forefront of that as the chairman of Natural Resources, I think played a leadership role in making sure that to the extent that we do have jobs here that we want to protect, it's been, you know, the legislature that's kind of defended against some of the overreaching regulations that some of the folks that, you know, the environmentalists would like to see in our state. On the other hand, we do play an important regulatory authority because, you know, in the legislature, we do see good things coming. We do have, like this year, Chairman Guyman, who basically is now the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, had a great bill that was kind of a compromise bill dealing with unitization of the carbon capture stuff.
JP, I'm sorry. We got a hard cutoff break. If you can stay on for a couple minutes, though, I can have you back on to finish up.
Okay.
Making your own.
News Talk 96.5 KPEL, Brobridge, Lafayette, a Town Square Media station, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax Pro Studio.
This is a Fox News alert. Wall Street is awash in red. I'm Dave Anthony, part of a stock market sell-off around the world on recession fears. After Friday's worse-than-expected jobs report, the Dow plunging 1,086 points. The NASDAQ is down 620. Former President Trump blames it on his new November rival, posting on Truth Social, it's the Kamala crash, as Vice President Harris gets ready to announce her running mate today or tomorrow.
Well, the Harris campaign is doing damage control after this brutal jobs report. The unemployment rate today is the highest it's been since 2021, the first year that President Biden and Vice President Harris took office. The Harris campaign spokesperson trying to distract from this poor report by talking about former President Trump's record in office, saying, quote, Donald Trump failed Americans as president, costing our economy millions of jobs and bringing us to the brink of recession.
Fox Business Network's Hillary Vaughn at the White House, where the vice president will join President Biden at a meeting with his national security advisors this afternoon as Israel prepares for an Iran attack said to be imminent.
The Wall Street Journal reports that Iran told U.S. and Arab diplomats it didn't care if its counterstrike led to war.
Fox's Trey Yangston, Haifa, Israel, days after the bombing in Iran killed Hamas's political leader.
Israel is taking steps to prepare for a prolonged conflict, as reports indicate the initial Iranian response could come in waves and include extensive missile and drone attacks.
Debbie's just weakened to a tropical storm 4 hours after the eye came ashore in the Big Bend region. Fox weather storm specialist Mike Seidel is in Live Oak, Florida, and says Debbie's caused some flooding with more to come.
The other issue, it's slowing down at forward speed. So what does that mean? You slow down a tropical system and it just rains and rains and rains. And we're looking at what is likely going to be a horrific setup for parts of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia.
Some areas could get 2 feet of rain. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey guys, Donald Trump Jr. here with urgent news. The world's central banks are making unprecedented moves, and it's time to pay attention. In 2022 and 2023, they bought more gold than ever before. And now in 2024, the trend is accelerating. Why? Because central banks have lost faith in the dollar. And in these uncertain times, gold is the ultimate safe haven. If you too are worried about the dollar, I urge you to take similar action by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold with my trusted friends at Birch Gold Group. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. I trust Birch Gold. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax-advantaged status. So text PROTECT to 989898. That's PROTECT to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
Message. Court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, are specially trained volunteers that help secure safe homes for abused and neglected children. Don't let these innocent victims slip through the cracks of our complicated legal system. Get involved today. Call CASA at 268-5111. This nonprofit organization moment brought to you by News Talk 96.5 KP.
Cities around Lafayette Parish are growing and fast. What are the mayors doing to keep up, and how does that affect you? We find out every Wednesday morning at 7 when we talk to the leaders of each city about what they're doing and what they plan to do as more residents and businesses move in. Tune in for Mayor's Minutes, Wednesday morning at 7 on News Talk 96.5 KPEL, on air and on the KPEL app.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5 KPEL or Town Square Media.
Welcome back to the Moon Griffon Show. This is not Moon Griffon, but it is his favorite state representative, Julie Emerson. We had State Senator Jean-Paul Cousin on earlier. He's running for Public Service Commission. And unfortunately, we had to cut him off for the break, and then he had to run back to a meeting. So I told him I would wrap up for him. But we do have my good friend, Mike Baham, state representative from Chalmette, who's joining us this morning. Mike, you with us?
I'm here, Madam Chairwoman.
All right. Well, just so y'all know, I am the chairman of House Ways and Means, and Mike is on Ways and Means, and so... he must want some good capital outlay or something. He's being so nice to me today. But Mike represents all of St. Bernard Parish, right?
That's correct. My district is the entire parish of St. Bernard. And we're no longer divided between other parishes in a house.
And what's your district number? 103, 104, 105 103, okay. Well, Mike and I have been good friends for a long time, got to know each other way back in the party activist days and Republican State Central Committee, and now he's joined me in the House and happy to have him. He's like a Louisiana political encyclopedia, so maybe we'll tap into some of that today. But Mike, start us off. Obviously, you're somebody who knew a lot about the legislature. You've testified in committee before. You've been around the political process for a long time. This is your first foray into elected state office. Of course, you were a councilman in St. Bernard, right? When you were in your 20s, you were like the youngest councilman ever in St. Bernard, huh?
That's correct. 2001, I was elected at the age of 26. And after serving the balance of a term for someone who had been elected to the legislature, I decided to run for a different office. It wasn't successful, but very proud of what we were able to do in St. Bernard in that brief time as a councilman.
Well, you know, it's funny. I know that as a elected official and as a state representative, I know all of the random questions that you get about, like, well, is it what you thought it was going to be, or how are you liking it? All those kind of pleasantries. But for you, I'm curious on, clearly you knew a lot of members of the legislature, and like I said, you had been down there a lot. So is there anything that's different about actually being there versus what you thought it was going to be?
Well, I did spend a lot of time. In fact, the joke I tell people is that I ran for office and literally moved 5 feet from where I was sitting before. I was up there advocating for St. Bernard Parish government for many years, and I'd get there early and I'd sit in the back area, and my chair now is in the back area, and I literally moved 5 feet from one side of the brass rail to the other. And I could say that when you're there advocating for a particular bill or something, you show up, you know when your bill's coming up, you engage in your outreach, and once your bill's done, unless you're just curious about what's going on other legislative matters, you go home. And well, now that I'm on the opposite side of the railing, you don't get to go home. You don't get to go home until State Representative Francis Thompson ambles on to the well of the House and, you know, makes the motion to adjourn for the day. And it is a lot more time consuming than I appreciated. We have been very busy this year. Really, a lot of your legislators have really done yeoman's work this year. We've essentially had four sessions, an organizational session, two special sessions, and a regular session. And one of the things I always do is, particularly my colleagues who are got a spouse back at home, whenever I meet the family, I always thank the spouse, the husband, or the wife for picking up the slack on and making the sacrifices they make in order to allow, her husband or his wife to spend so much time in Baton Rouge doing the work for the people. And there's certainly an opportunity cost economically serving in the legislature. We don't get paid very much, $6,800 a year base salary. But there's a time loss, and that husband and that wife's got to pick up the slack and literally pick up the kids and do things, because for a lot of legislators, commuting every day is simply not a viable option, and it's not a good idea, particularly if you're not getting out till 8 o'clock at night and you need to be in committee or caucus meeting at 7:30, 8 in the morning.
I think that I understand what you're saying, but my friend, I think you might have brought a little bit of this on yourself, because I think you broke a record for the amount of bills that were introduced by a freshman.
Well, I counted
24 bills before you came on.
Well, I decided to make my time count, I will say this much, that when people ask me, what is your favorite thing about being a legislator? Now, I'll admit, you know, someone who has been in and out that Capitol since 95 when I worked as a page and a quasi-legislative aide, and, I mean, you'd have to park by the river or park by the mansion and hoof it uphill in the heat. That parking spot behind the building is certainly a perk I never fully appreciated till that first day I was able to realize I didn't have to park by the river and walk five blocks. But the thing I always tell people what I'm most excited about are my colleagues. We really have some outstanding people from across the state, regardless of party, people with educational backgrounds, life experiences that bring so much to the chambers. And that, for me, is my favorite part. I mean, I just learned so much from my colleagues, the perspective they give. We have one legislator who is a pharmacist who, when we're talking about issues like fentanyl, I mean, this guy just broke it down at a table for all of us one day. And, I mean, we left that 20-minute, visit with him so much more educated on the topic than we did going in.
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, look, I think that you have, I've always told people, you have such a diverse background of people who come there. I mean, you know, we have 105 members of the House, and they come from 105 different districts, 105 different backgrounds, different families, just everything, different career paths. I think that the number one thing that I've always learned about people there is that while there's plenty of them that I disagree with, and you and I have disagreed on things before, but, you know, there's plenty of things I disagree with my colleagues on, but the great thing is that, understanding where they're coming from and sure, like, you're going to have some bad apples or some bad seeds here and there, but for the most part, they are good people, and they come from, 105 different thought processes, and they think about things differently than you do sometimes. But we can all learn from each other. And so I appreciate that. But, like, I did want to dive into a little bit. We're going to take a break, but I'm going to keep you on for two segments. Let's talk a little bit about your 24 pieces of legislation, because even though it sounds like a lot, you did a lot of really good things. And, you know, you're a guy who, like I said, has been around the legislative process for a while. So you kind of came in, you hit the ground running, and you knew some of the things that you wanted to do. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break, but be thinking about it. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about some of your highlights of the session.
With five locations, I always make it a point to visit Superior Grill. I love the food there. It's authentic Mexican food with a Louisiana twist. That menu has all your favorites: nachos, quesadillas, enchiladas, tacos, fajitas, hand-cut steaks, and the best margaritas in the state. You go to Superior for lunch or dinner, and folks, you're going to thank me for it. My lovely bride and I eat at Superior Grill every chance we get. They're on Line Avenue in Shreveport, Government Street, and Holland Road in Baton Rouge, and they're on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans. But look, their new location in Lafayette is now open. Lafayette, you've been clamoring for it, and now they are open on Collie Saloon. I want to see Superior Grill packed with folks from Acadiana. The best Mexican food with a Louisiana twist is found at Superior Grill. Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, and now Acadiana on College Saloon in Lafayette. This is Moon Griffon. I will see you at Superior Grill.
As Louisiana's only fiberglass manufacturer and fabricator, C-Safe Fiberglass Grating and Structural Systems has provided corrosion-resistant products to the Gulf Coast for over 45 years. Our fiberglass grating, cable trays, and structural shapes are ideal to replace corroded, rotting building products and can be custom fabricated by the best fiberglass craftsmen in the world, right here in Lafayette. Contact C-Safe or visit our website at csafe.com. That's S-E-A like the ocean, S-A-F-E.com.
This is Moon Griffon. The sun has never raised its rates, but your local energy company sure has. Solar Louisiana can install residential home solar systems with huge battery storage, or they can add batteries to your existing system. If there's an outage, you are sitting pretty with all the electricity you need. Imagine electric bills so low, you can pay it with pocket change you find in your couch. Solar Louisiana has the experience you need to make the right decision. Online at solarlouisiana.net. Your energy independence company, Solar Louisiana.
You ever see these people?
I.
All right, welcome back to the Moon Griffon Show. This is State Representative Julie Emerson, guest hosting today for Moon, and I have my good friend Mike Bayham, State Representative from St. Bernard Parish, is on the line with us. And Mike, let's quickly highlight a couple of the bills that you did. As I mentioned before, you introduced about 24 bills in your first session, which was a lot for a freshman. So let's talk about a couple of highlights, and then kind of wanted to segue a little bit into national politics, because you and I were both at the Republican National Convention last month. So but anyway, let's highlight a couple of your bills and your legislation this year, Mike.
Well, some of the bills I put out there, I just wanted to start getting feedback on. Now, one bill I cared a great deal about, I didn't go fully forward with it, was lifetime term limit on governor. I believe that we have 4 million people in our state. Governors don't need to serve more than two terms. Now, there was a lot of talk with the Constitutional Convention going up, and there's a big pushback against trying to do amendments that could potentially chip away at the convention. So I just kind of put it out there, had a small discussion. I will be bringing that up in 2026. But, you know, where you get your ideas from, Bill, is your life experience, what you see in the newspaper, and what you hear about from people, life experiences other people have had. And I did have a lot of bills, and some of the bills were ideas that people carried, and they didn't quite get across the goal line, but that person may have other priorities that they can't handle that particular bill because they're dealing with other bigger issues that I happily picked up. One of them was a bill that you had handled regarding the de-licensing of florists in Louisiana. Louisiana is the only state that you had to be licensed and take a test in order to be a florist. That's a bill you had carried. Now that you're one of the leaders of the legislature, you know, you're focused on big things like capital outlay. I reached out and said, look, Representative, I thought you had a great bill. I know you're going to be tied up. Would you mind if I had carried it? Now, of course, we have a new governor, a new legislature, a much more conservative legislature, and we were able to get that bill across the finish line this year. And but, you know, these are ideas that didn't originate with me, but people like you went out there and fought to try to get this, you know, make progress on this, and not just took the hand off and, you know, scampered the few yards after you had run down the field a lot longer than I had on it. They had a few other bills that we got through, that something that I kind of foresaw happening, because generally when it comes to national politics, things happen in New York and Los Angeles, and then they kind of make their way down to the other states. And one of what I was very concerned about was this new trend of protesters blocking roadways and interstates. And while this had not really happened in Louisiana, it was happening in Chicago, it was happening in New York and Los Angeles, and I figured it was only a matter of time before it trickled down to us. And So I had a bill that increased the fines for blocking traffic as part of an unpermitted protest and doing something that was not on the books, and that is a fine and a penalty for coordinating these protests. And I remember during the middle of the debate, we had a member of the Democratic caucus get up there and say, why are you even worried about this? This stuff isn't happening. And while he's saying this, Representative Doty Horton, a friend of ours from North Louisiana, walked up to the well while I was at the mic and showed a video, her phone, which had a video of people trying to get to the airport in Chicago being blocked by protesters, having to carry their luggage up a three-story ramp in order to make their flight. So I had a few other bills related to recalls. Cameron Henry is now president of the Senate. He had a bill to tighten the legislation last year. The bill didn't go as far, but he allowed me to carry it this time, and we got it across the finish line. So a lot of the stuff I did was stuff other people were working on, and due to their new responsibilities, I just kind of picked up the ball as it was. Some of the bills were things that I've seen happen that I wanted to try to remedy, particularly increasing penalties for assaulted bus drivers. That's something that's been on the uptick in New Orleans and around the country. Our bus drivers are in a very vulnerable position where if you attack a bus driver while they're operating the vehicle, that could lead to death. Not only just people on the bus from an accident, but pedestrians and other motorists. So I did have quite a few bills that covered the gamut on multiple topics. But I wanted to get off to a running start, and I'm pretty proud of what we were able to accomplish.
Well, and Mike, look, I mean, I think you're like the utility player. You know, if you it's like a put me in coach type of situation. And look, I appreciate. I appreciate everything that you did and a lot of the mantles that you took up there. I kind of wanted to switch a little bit, and thanks for the legislative wrap-up. But, you know, last month you and I were both in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. And, you know, I always feel like, I think, what, how many conventions is this for you? Five, six?
Seven.
Okay. This is my fifth one. So both of us now kind of being veterans of national conventions, kind of give us your take on it. I actually thought as far as the lineup of speakers and just the different life experiences and conversations that they brought to the table, I thought it was probably the best lineup of speakers that I've seen. I think that, we showed that the Republican Party and the Republican ideals can appeal to a lot of people, and I think more people are waking up. So share your experiences. Tell me how it compared to previous conventions and kind of what you think is going to happen for the rest of the year.
Well, conventions have generally, unfortunately, in the past been everyone was fighting just to be on the podium.
I'll also tell you have 2 minutes to do it, so quickly.
All right. So what we saw with this convention was Trump brought out people, ordinary people who are dealing with issues or had perspectives that are very common. I remember the mother of the son who died from fentanyl poisoning. I thought her speech was outstanding. We had people go up there talk about how violence in communities have led to the deaths of family members. Those are the things people need to hear, not necessarily someone with a title, a senator or a governor. I thought those speeches were outstanding. Now, my favorite speech was the World War II veteran who basically said, look, you win, Mr. President, I'm reenlisting the next day.
Yeah, he was
and
phenomenal.
He talked about his fight against the Nazis in World War II. And I thought those speeches were great because they came from real people who have real problems that many of us can identify with what's going on in our lives and that of our friends and our loved ones. So that was, I thought, the big difference between this convention and others before is everyone just trying to get on TV. Now we were showcasing issues that affect Americans, and I hope that we continue that trend in future conventions.
Yeah, look, like I said, I thought it was probably the best lineup. I thought that just the message was very clear. I thought everybody stayed on message. The topics for each of the evenings, I thought were spot on and, you know, making America wealthy again, safe again, strong again, and then obviously great again. So, State Representative Mike Bayham, St. Bernard Parish. Thanks for joining, buddy, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Appreciate it, Representative.
With the summer heat here, let's talk about your AC. You're looking for a reliable, locally owned company that you can trust? Call Adapt Concepts AC and Heating. They have been serving all of Acadiana, the surrounding area, and the Gulf of Mexico for over 6 years. For your home or business, Adapt Concepts AC and Heating has you covered. With certified technicians specializing in everything from residential to large commercial HVAC systems available 24/7, these guys are focused on providing professional quality work and ensuring customer satisfaction every step of the way. You want the professionals? You want the best? This is them. Don't miss this summer special. 0% financing or up to $3,000 off qualifying high efficiency equipment. Not only that, they will throw in a free 12-year part and labor warranty. That's right, 12 years part and labor. Wow. Don't you want to know more about them? Call them at 337-408-8202. That's 337-408-8202. Or go to the website adap-ac.com. That's adap-ac.com.
When you think about how you'll spend your money in retirement, what comes to mind? Probably travel, sunny beaches, and spoiling your grandchildren. But a recent survey found that over 30% of every dollar a retiree spends goes to taxes. Baby boomers were told for years to save money in their IRAs and 401ks and pay taxes later. Well, now that day has arrived, and boomers are shocked to see a third of their money going back to Uncle Sam. John Blanchard and the Matthew James Financial Group can help. What if you could protect all or most of your retirement wealth from future tax rate increases? Achieve a zero or near zero effective tax rate for most of your retirement years. Find out more. 337-366-8366. Isn't it time you got a second opinion on your wealth and retirement outlook? Learn how you could potentially kick the IRS out of your IRA. 337-366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com.
Do you create this hour brought to you by the Matthew James Tax Pros? Find them online at MatthewJamesTaxPros.com.
All right, welcome back to the Moon Griffon Show. This is State Representative Julie Emerson, guest hosting for Moon today. And I can promise you guys that our next guest has never been on the Moon Griffon Show before. And honestly, you know, he might make me lose my guest hosting gig. I don't know. But look, I think that our next guest is probably, and I think he wears this banner proudly, probably the most, one of the most progressive elected officials in our state. So obviously not a frequent guest on the Moon Griffon Show, but he is Public Service Commissioner Devontae Lewis. Devontae, you with us?
I'm with you.
All right. Did you like that introduction?
Hey, I think it would. I wear it with a badge of honor.
I know
that's a good introduction.
I know you do. I think Devontae and I might agree on like maybe two things, and I don't think they're political. Look, Devontae and I actually first met each other because he was attacking me on Twitter, on some conservative video I put out. And so we were kind of going back and forth, had a little banter going on, and then it kind of became funny. And we decided, you know, we don't really agree on anything, but at least we can have a little fun on Twitter. But I asked Devontae to come on this morning, and I told him I would be nice, so I will be nice. But I asked him to come on this morning because we were talking about the Republican National Convention earlier. Of course, Mike Bayham and I were both there for that. And Devontae is part of the delegation for the Democrat convention. He's a leader in the Democrat delegation as far as whipping votes and things of that nature. So I wanted you to come on and just kind of give us a little insight because I think it's interesting. You know, obviously, politically, we don't agree, and I'm not going to be voting for the Democrat nominee for president. But I I do think it's interesting because if you are a fan of the political process, the last few weeks in American politics have been quite historic. And of course, having a major party nominee step down right before the convention and give way to another candidate is a very unique thing. So, Devontae, thanks for coming on. And I just wanted you to kind of step us through the process of what happened. I know you immediately got some calls from Kamala Harris's camp about, being with her and committing to her and whipping votes. And so tell us kind of how that process worked and how you think things are going to play out in Chicago. And are there going to be any surprises?
Yeah, no, I mean, originally, after we had announced Chicago as our convention site, I expected some controversy. I mean, the last time the Democrats were in Chicago was 1968, massive war protest, really, really kind of changed the trajectory, I think, of where the Democratic Party was going. So I was prepared for that. I mean, we were entering a very hostile moment in our party between those who were interested in the situation in Gaza, and so we were expecting that to be probably the biggest issue facing the Democratic National Convention. And to my surprise, we ended up having a whole different nominee, which is not what I thought. But the way this really happened was maybe after the debate, talks about Biden dropping out were percolating, but I never thought they were going to do anything. The Biden campaign, President Biden himself, showed no interest. But then the heat was getting higher. And so the week before he decided to step down, I got a call to just gauge my interest. If the president stepped down, would I be with the vice president? And at the time, I didn't it as much as I think I should have, but I was like, yeah, and I'll be happy to help if that becomes the case. And then
totally thinking there is no way that could be the case.
No way that could be the case. Yeah, I was clueless. So fast forward to a week. It's Sunday. I had been out of town for a conference in Portland, Oregon the whole week. So I'd gotten home. I was trying to have an easy Sunday, catching up on some reality TV, went in the kitchen to make a snack, and I came back and I had 40 missed calls. And I was like, what the world's going on? And then I, of course, looked down at my phone, turned on the TV, see the president has randomly tweeted that he is no longer running. And right after that, got a call from the Harris campaign to help try to lock down the Louisiana delegates, start making phone calls. By 3 o'clock, we had scheduled a 7 p.m. emergency delegation Zoom meeting, and by 8 o'clock, 51 of the 53 delegates came out saying we're going to vote for her. So, I mean, it was it's one for the books. I'll tell you about that.
Well, I mean, look, honestly, when I was at the Republican National Convention, I sat in and did a few interviews for some media outlets, and you know, every single one of them asked the question, do you think that it's going to be Joe Biden? Do you think he's going to be the nominee? Do you think he's going to drop out? And even at that point, which was only a couple days before, I said, I hear the rumors, but, you know, I don't see that becoming a reality. And then all of a sudden, you have Hakeem Jeffries, you have Chuck Schumer, you have Nancy Pelosi, all the leaders of the Democrat Party suddenly calling for him to reconsider. And I thought, man, this is quite a feat. Now, I know that Louisiana's delegates have committed to Harris, but of course, you know, when you go, but you're not bound, right? Like, you guys are not bound at this point because, I mean, you're in theory said you'll support her, but when you go to the convention, the delegates aren't bound at this point, correct?
Well, in normal years, you would be correct. But, I mean, I'm so confused by what we did. But because of the Ohio ballot threat, the party's nomination process actually accelerated this weekend. So we had to do nominating petitions. Vice President Harris was the only one to have more than 300 delegates nominate her for the nomination. And then we are doing a virtual roll call right now. So the ballots went out Thursday morning,
And ballots are due back to the DNC by 6 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
Gotcha.
And then
is it like an affidavit type situation or?
Yeah, like we basically everybody got a secure ballot. So the information that you had submitted to the DNC, it came to your email. You had to save the PDF, vote for your options, which were Kamala Harris, or you were voting present, and then send that back via email to the secure site that had sent it to you. And so they are tabulating votes. And like I said, she will officially be the nominee probably sometime tonight. And then we'll just do a ceremonial roll call when we get to Chicago, which is a little bit different. But, I mean, it's almost similar to what we did in 2020 when we canceled our convention. So it's strange for the times now, but at least they had the muscle of doing a virtual roll call because we did it 4 years ago.
Yeah, and look, I told you I wasn't going to ask you any too tough and crazy questions. So this will be like a half tough question. Not too bad.
Hit me.
I mean, and this is something that you've heard multiple times, you know, mentioned in the media and stuff. But as far as voters go and just the thought process and the feeling, you know, people have mentioned, hey, this is a very undemocratic process. But, you know, they do elect delegates, obviously, to go to a convention and do the formal nomination. Do you sense that feeling from average voters? You know, do you feel like they're upset about how it went down, or was it kind of like a brewing and people kind of knew that this was potentially going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the feelings, honestly, on the Democratic side have been more about those who just felt President Biden was disrespected. Look, I'm a big fan of open processes. In a normal year, if, let's say, President Biden would have stepped down maybe 3-4 months ago, I would have been all about open convention, having a process, doing the party's work and letting people make those choices, right? I mean, I think this situation, of course, is very different, but I think why I don't feel that sense is because this was a renomination of our candidate more than it was like in 2016 or 2020 or 2008, where there was an open contest. There was no presidential primary, really. I mean, we had Marie Williamson and at times RFK Jr. tried to run the Democratic Party, but outside of that, it was only Biden. And so by default, we were technically voting for Biden and Harris. And so that's why I said for this year, I think this process was okay, but let's say something like this happens again after an open contest, then I probably would have a very different opinion.
All right, Devontae, Public Service Commissioner Devontae Lewis, I got a couple more questions for you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, but stay on the line if you can.
I will do that.
Folks, you hear me brag about Schumacher Homes. Now's the time. Now's the time to build that custom home that you always wanted. Schumacher Model Homes to discover the ideal plan and interior design that you need. The team at Scott's ready to help provide you with a firsthand glimpse of all the possibilities of your new home. Go to SchumacherHomes.com. SchumacherHomes.com. Is building a custom home something you really feel strong about? SchumacherHomes.com. My friends at Schumacher Homes recently released the perfect French country-inspired home. The Avery floor plan is the perfect blend of both elegance and functionality. The two-story, 2,847-square-foot masterpiece by Schumacher Homes featured 4 beds and 2.5 baths. Open kitchen layout invites seamless interaction with other people as the guests come over. Visit SchumacherHomes.com, SchumacherHomes.com. Folks, I'm just telling you, you got to go visit them because they can build your next home, and you're going to be glad you came across them. SchumacherHomes.com. SchumacherHomes.com.
Louisiana is unique. The food, the festivals, even the bugs. It's termite season. Did you know termites are responsible for over $1 billion worth of damage in Louisiana alone? For over 60 years, J&J Exterminating has been shielding homes and businesses. 100% guaranteed against termites, pests, and mosquitoes. Louisiana-owned, customer-focused. J&J Exterminating.
Call them today, make the pests go away. J&J Exterminating.
Get the shield.
Yeah.
Line One is a business telecom provider. Line One specializes in cloud-based communication with superior customer service. If you're frustrated with phone bills you can't understand, endless hold time to customer support, and phone system that is not meeting your needs, then you need to go to Line.One and schedule a free consultation to advance your business phone system. Line One, technology with a human touch. Go to Line.One and tell them Moon sent you. Again, that is Line.One.
No.
All right, welcome back to the Moon Griffon Show. This is Representative Julie Emerson, guest hosting for Moon today. And we are on with a first-time Moon guest and Public Service Commissioner Devontae Lewis, who agreed to step into the lion's den here on a conservative radio show and talk to me a little bit about the Democrat National Convention coming up, which is going to be quite a historic one. We've covered a lot of ground, but Devontae, thanks for sticking around. I did just want to ask one more question. You know, we heard that Vice President Harris recently met with Josh Shapiro, Governor of Pennsylvania, Tim Walz in Minnesota, and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. Thoughts on those three, or do you think the VP choice is still out there and it's not any of those three?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting VP selection. One, because it seems that almost all of the finalists outside of Senator Kelly are governors. The last time a Democratic presidential nominee picked a governor as their running mate was in the 1920s. So, one, we're kind of making history that we're doing something outside of the box. I think these are probably the three finalists. I would be surprised to see any others. I think because of the time, I think, in my opinion, I think the two dark horses really are Governor Walz of Minnesota and Andy Beshear of Kentucky. I think Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania has got a lot of buzz and has gotten a lot of supporters and a lot of also detractors, but I think he's still relatively young in his career as governor, and I think that's just not going to bode well for him. But my personal pick, I think she's going to announce Tim Walz. I think he has that Midwest dad vibe, and he would also be—he's also not a lawyer. And the Democratic ticket has not had two lawyers on the ticket since 1980. So if we're really trying to keep breaking in the mold, I think Governor Walz makes the most sense to finally make the Democratic Party not have its lawyery appeal as we always seem to do.
Well, thanks so much, Devontae. I think, I think it'll be interesting. I would be surprised, in my personal opinion, on the Andy Beshear pick, just because I don't really think that Kentucky's at play for y'all. But I think it's a pretty red state. I think it's as solid red as Louisiana. But Public Service Commissioner Devontae Lewis, out of the box pick for a guest today. But I appreciate you coming on. Telling us a little bit about the Democrat perspective and the national convention coming up. I'll be watching because I think it'll be it might have some fireworks. I'm kind of still holding out for some excitement. But thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, as the Democratic Party always does, there's going to be some excitement. What? We'll wait to see. But I'll come back and tell you about it once I return from Chicago at the end of the month.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man. All right. And next, our next guest, we have a good friend of mine for a long time, the chief pollster of the Trafalgar Group, Robert Cahaley. Robert, are you on with us?
I am.
All right. Well, it's good to talk to you. And look, we just finished. We kind of covered the gamut here. We talked about tax policy in Louisiana. We talked about insurance problems. Then we had our mutual friend, Mike Baham, on for a little bit talking about session. And then we kind of segued into the Republican National Convention, of which Mike and I were both there, and you were there as well. And then I had a public service commissioner in Louisiana, who is also going to the Democrat National Convention. He kind of gave us an overview of what went down the last few weeks and how he sees Chicago playing out. And then I wanted to bring you on, Robert, as a an expert pollster. You can also see Robert featured on multiple cable news shows as a commentator. He's been in the political world for a while. He knows his stuff. And so, Robert, just to kind of wrap up, I know you probably haven't had an opportunity to listen to everything we've said today, but, you know, how do you see things playing out? I mean, I feel like we're kind of seeing a little bit of a maybe a honeymoon phase for Kamala Harris, where she's got a little bump, but I think things will eventually level out, you know, in my opinion, and I think you probably share it. I think it's going to come down, you know, obviously to Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, maybe Arizona. So what do you think strengths and weaknesses are for President Trump in those areas, and what do you think Kamala brings to the table or doesn't?
Well, I think one of the things that, and we just actually just finished recording an episode of our polling podcast, Polling Plus, with me and Matt Towery, hosted every week. You just type in polling into where the podcast, and they'll come right up. But what we talked about, I think, is relevant here, too, and that is that what really has changed is the enthusiasm gap. The Republicans had a major enthusiasm gap of around 30 points. And with Kamala being put, you know, with Biden out, Kamala in many states, that enthusiasm gap is completely evaporated. You see it not only with the, you know, the excitement on the ground with volunteers. Look at the grassroots contribution. I mean, who would have thought that Harris would raise $300 million, double what Trump did in the same time period? There's clearly enthusiasm for Democrats who would just not ready to go all in for a guy who didn't know where he was. But they're ready to go all in now. And that gap, the evaporation of that gap, is changing this race, because whereas this race before with a gap that wide was a base election that the Republicans could just use the enthusiasm to turn their people out because the Democrat turnout would be lessened because of lack of enthusiasm, that's over. Both benches are going to clear now. Both sides are engaged. So it becomes a real street fight for everybody in the middle. And what's really happening is those people who are going to one of the third parties called, you know, other candidates, that share of the vote that wasn't happy with either candidate at the top, it was Biden versus Trump. Well, that's dissipating now, and they're finding a home either with Trump or with Harris. But without that kind of a filter, you know, in 2020, all those people who didn't like anybody ended up with Biden and provided the margin of victory. Well, in 2024, the thought was, well, that group may just dissipate among the three third-party candidates, and it would be just people who are supporting either candidate and give Trump an advantage. I don't think that advantage exists anymore. And the media is so in the tank. I mean, Kamala's website doesn't have a single thing about issues. I mean, she has really built an image on a house of cards that, at this point, nobody's asking a question. The environmental people get to think she's, you know, Green New Deal, and then she tells people in Pennsylvania she's for fracking. You know, the Palestinians and the Israelis think she's on their side. I mean, she's not taking stands.
Well, and I mean, do you think
gonna hold her accountable?
Yeah, and like,
or is,
you know,
all up to Trump.
Like I mentioned before, I think you're kind of, and as you said, there was an enthusiasm gap, and now you're kind of getting this little honeymoon bump of, hey, Kamala's the pick. But do you think, and maybe people, you know, maybe the media doesn't latch onto it, maybe people don't pay attention enough, but, you know, as things start to ramp up and you put videos out there of her talking about being against fracking and played in Pennsylvania or, you know, or play issue about border issues in Arizona or whatever it is, do you think that right now we just have a total lack of people being engaged and paying attention enough to see it? Or do you think those things will start affecting Kamala?
I think they'll eventually. I mean, that's the interesting thing about this campaign. It isn't going to necessarily be won with big spending by the campaign. It's going to be, you know, the lady that finds a really interesting video of Kamala saying something and shares it with enough friends for it to go viral, and little warriors like that all over the country. In this new world, everybody has a front seat in the campaign. It's not just the ads you see on TV. It's what gets shared on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram. Everybody is in this game.
Hey, Robert, we got to take a quick break, but stick around. We're going to have you on for one more segment.
For the absolute best in local Cajun food, check out Prejean's in their two locations in Carancrow and Broussard today.